Again, we can be thankful to God that He has allowed us this privilege. And as we look back at our lives and we realize that if it was something that we should have done for the cause of Christ and we left it undone, or something that we did that we should not have done, we can let the Lord undo it through His mercy and His forgiveness by repenting of it and starting out anew. Of course, what Paul was referring to was the things that he had talked about earlier in this chapter, chapter 3, of all of those credentials that he had on his resume. He says, I'm forgetting those things, and I'm reaching forth unto the things which are before, and I'm pressing on. And so this evening, I want us to press on. As we press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, I want to share a few things with us tonight that I believe would be beneficial. I know would be beneficial to help us to be better in our walk with the Lord. Two important things I want us to consider. About setting goals. Number one, our ultimate goal in this year, as it should be, in whatever year we're in. If God blesses us to see another year after this, our ultimate goal ought to be ready for the Lord's return. That needs to be our ultimate goal, to be ready for the Lord's return. We don't know, of course, when He's going to return, but we do know that He is going to return. Peter, when he wrote to the Christians in his day and time, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he had talked to them about the day of the Lord was going to come as a thief in the night. And then he says in verse number 12 and 13, he says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, he says, we are caught into His promise. We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He says, we ought to be looking and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. I wonder why the term hasting is there. Perhaps the Holy Spirit had in mind that in the world in which those Christians were living, and in the world even in which we're living today, is full of troubles, pain, turmoil, all kinds of things going on in this world. Therefore, we ought to be looking for and hasting on. In other words, longing for it to come. We can't speed it up ourselves. That's in God's hand. But we ought to be longing for that day to come so that we can be delivered out of all of this madness, out of all of this stuff that's going on. Because we know that in the new world to come, in heaven, there's going to be a place where nothing but righteousness is going to exist. So we ought to have as our ultimate goal to be ready for the Lord's return. And then Peter says something else in verse number 14 of chapter 3. He says, wherefore, or for this reason, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. It's so important, brothers and sisters, for us to be found in Him in peace and without spot and blameless. That's the only way we're going to get out of this trouble as we're in now. If we don't stand before God in peace, in Him, that is, and blameless, we're just going to put off one trouble for another trouble. Except the other trouble, or the next trouble, is going to be greater than this trouble. So we need to be ready for the Lord's return. And then he says in verse number 17, he says this, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness." It's so important that we remain steadfast, firm, fixed in our faith. Beware, he says. Be on guard, lest you be led away with the error of the wicked. Verse number 12 of Hebrews chapter 3 says this, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end." Can't you see then how our theme for the year just really comes out in this verse? Standing firm in a changing world. There are folks in this world that want us. The devil is behind it all. To turn loose from what we are holding on to. There are folks in this world that want us to slack up on our persistence in being a Christian. Oh, it won't hurt just to do this for a little while. You don't have to do all of what you're talking about. God is not that exact. Don't believe that foolishness. Don't let the wicked people who care nothing about pleasing God, influence us to be led away and to fall from our own steadfastness. Do you know who you believe in? If you know whom you have believed in, and you know what you have believed, and if you know that it is true according to the word of God, stand and stay with it. Because your ultimate goal, my ultimate goal, our ultimate goal is to be ready for the Lord's return. And the only way again for us to be found in Him in peace and to stand before Him faultless is to be steadfast in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God say to us tonight, be ready for the Lord's return. And the folks that want us, through the influence of Satan, to turn loose what we believe, they're not always out there. Sometimes they're on the inside. Peter said it, and I know it's got to be true because he said it. By inspiration, he said it. Not of his own accord, but by inspiration, he said it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, he says, "But there were false prophets also where? Among the people," talking about Israel, "among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who
Probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That word pernicious means a thing that causes danger and destruction. They are destructive ways. They are dangerous ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, insincere words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, the judgment of people like that, they're coming, it's coming. And we must not get caught up then on with somebody, even among us, who would say that let's change up something, let's jazz it up, let's do this, let's do that. We need to stick with the word of God, because to go away in a direction that is not pleasing according to the word of God, we're setting ourselves up for eternal destruction. Our ultimate goal then is to be ready for the Lord's return. Well, for the remainder of time tonight, let me just share with you a few things that we can do, some tools that are at our disposal for us to use to ensure that we'll be ready when the Lord returns. Remembering again that we don't know when he's going to return. We don't know when our sojourn on this earth is going to end. But we can do certain things to ensure that we are ready when he returns. Number one, study our Bible regularly. Why do we stress this so many times and so often? Study our Bible regularly. Because that's the only way that we'll ever know what we are to do to be found in peace and without blame before him. That's the only book that gives us the prescription, that gives us the direction, that gives us the instruction as to what we are to do in our lives to ensure that we are ready. But if we don't study our Bibles regularly, we will never know what God requires of us. Pick up our Bibles as an individual. And we say it so many times, those who teach, those who preach, don't wait just to pick it up when somebody else is teaching it or when somebody else is preaching it. Pick it up regularly for yourself, because you may get to a point where you cannot even get to the Bible. You may be incapacitated and can't get to the assembly, can't get to the Bible class. But if you have not studied God's word, you won't know what to meditate on. You won't know what you're to do to, again, to please God. So we need to make it a habit of studying God's word. It provides the way to salvation, James 1:21. It provides the nutrition for spiritual growth, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It provides protection against drifting away or being misled by false teachers. We've just talked about a scripture that Peter talks about, that we need to beware lest we be led away with the wicked and fall from our own steadfastness. If we don't know what it takes to be steadfast, then how will we know that we have not fallen from our steadfastness? We got to first know what it takes to be steadfast. The Hebrew writer said it like this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. He said, therefore we ought to give the more honest heed to the things which we have what? Heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And he goes on and says what? For if the word that was spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, how do we know about the salvation that was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto those that heard him? How do we know about that? Through reading and studying the Bible. If we don't study the Bible, we won't know anything about what the Lord wants us to do again to be saved. And anybody can come along and tell us anything, and we'll end up falling away, drifting away. We end up being lost unless we correct our steps. So study our Bibles on a regular basis. And then be in constant prayer. Be in constant prayer. Earnestly praying. Here's some things that prayer does for us. Prayer number one, it draws us closer to God. All of us, I'm sure, want to be close to God. If we are earnestly and sincerely praying, then it draws us closer to God. And secondly, it keeps us in time, it keeps us rather in time, in tune rather, with our dependence on God. When we are praying to God, it reminds us then of how much we depend on God. But if we think we can do it all on our own, you think we're going to pray? You think we're going to give God praise and adoration in our prayers? If we think we can do it all on our own? Well, when we realize that we can't do anything on our own, then we are subject then to pray to God and to thank Him and to ask Him for the strength and the guidance through His word so that we can do what we need to do to please Him. So it keeps us in tune with our dependence on God. And it also, again, helps us and protects us from drifting away or being misled by false teachers. Yes, we need to be a praying people. And I talked about, or the scripture talked about being found in peace in Him. Prayer also helps us to be found in peace or to have His peace in us. Listen to what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but what? In everything, it says, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And as a result, it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes what? All understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. That's one of the results of prayer. Prayer will help us have the peace of God. And then another thing that we can do to help us to be ready for the coming of our Lord. Attend all of the services of the church that we possibly can. You see, it's in our assembling together. One of the purposes of assembling together is to encourage faithful service and motivate people to good works. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Bible says, provoking one another unto love and good works. And then 25, we know that so well. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging, building somebody up, and exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Attend all of the services of the church that you can. It is one of the ways that we edify one another against falling away that we've talked about. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Then another thing we can do, as we study God's word and we apply God's word, we grow in grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Peter admonished the Christians in his day and time in his second book that he wrote to them in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, but grow in what? In the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he wrote, Peter, that is, wrote of the blessings that are found in the knowledge of Christ. Number one, he talks about grace and peace being multiplied. All of that happens in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. How is it going to be multiplied unto us? Through the knowledge of God. Getting back again to studying our Bibles. How do we know about God? How do we know what God wants us to do? It's all written down for us on the pages of inspiration. So the more knowledge that we have of God and of His will toward us, the more we can enjoy the grace and the peace that is available for us. Then he says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through what? The knowledge of him. How we get the knowledge? Again, from his word. That has called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All of this happens as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And that helps us to be ready for the Lord's return. What else can we do to ensure that we are ready for the Lord's return? Display holy conduct and godliness. In other words, live a godly life. Because after all, if we don't display holy conduct and godliness, we'll never see the Lord. That's what the Hebrew writer said. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, he says, do what? Follow peace with who? All men. And holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. The exercise of godliness, and it has the promise not only of this life, but of the life to come. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And living a godly life is so important, especially as we live among ungodly folks in the world. We are to be a beacon of light to help folks see the true light. Sad story. I'm sure most of us heard it on the news of the airplane crash of the four people in Kentucky. The one survivor was the 8-year-old girl, or 7-year-old, however old she was, young girl. And you know what? You heard what the man said, and how he believed how she got the way he was? Because his light was on the outside. And he believed that she looked through those trees somehow and saw that light. And because of that, she arrived there and he was able to help her. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. Of us as Christians. Just like she had a broken wrist, scratched up legs and arms, folks in this world who live after the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all of these things, they are broken, they are scratched up, they are bruised with sin and degradation in their lives. And they need to see a light somewhere. And that light will only come through Christians. How we need to be a light. To show people that there is a better way. But what did Peter say about this? Last scripture tonight, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. He says this, having your conversation, your manner of life, honest among who? The Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your what? Good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So they talk about us, yes. Some of them may not even like us, yes. But keep on being a good Christian, living holy and godly lives. Eventually, somebody's going to say something good about you. It must be something that's keeping those folks going. Even when they work against us, they see that we're steadfast. They see that we treat them right. They see that we love one another and we love them when they care nothing about us. The Bible says they're going to glorify God in the day of visitation. The Bible, as Brother Kiva used to say, the Bible is right. We just need to have confidence in it and live according to it. Whatever the word of God says, it will come true.
So I'm saying to us tonight, let's live holy and godly lives. These are some things that will help us to be ready when Christ returns. Again, we don't know when he's coming, but we know that he is coming. Our job is to be ready. So Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are before. He says, I press on. I keep on pushing. I keep on moving. I keep on going. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to do it again on a daily basis. And every year that the Lord allows us to see, if time continues on, we need to keep on pressing with these things in mind. Again, number one, have as our ultimate goal to be ready when he comes. Because once he gets here, it's too late to get ready. We used to play a game a long time ago, way back down where I came from, called hide and go seek. And then there was another one called ready, here I come. But this one in particular says, after you've started out so many times, they tell you to go back, and after you start out so many times, Brother DeMarco, they said, ready or not, here I come. That's what it's going to be when the Lord comes. Ready or not, he's going to come when he gets ready. We need to be ready for that day, that hour, every day. And you know the Bible says this about when he comes in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, down about verse number 10. He says that he's going to be admired by all of the saints that believe in him. In other words, when we're doing God's will, when we've prepared ourselves and we've got ready, whenever he does come, we're going to be glad. You know, those who are not ready, they're going to be just like the five unwise virgins. They're going to be running, trying to get some extra oil. Too late. Ready or not, he's here now. So let's have as our goal to see God's face in peace. There are those here tonight, or any here tonight, who need to make it right with God. If you look at your life and you know you're not right in God's sight, we want to encourage you to come. If you need to obey the gospel, become a member of the body of Christ, why not do that tonight? If you need to confess of an erring way of which you repented, realize that you've not been living those holy and those godly lives, that you've not been really being steadfast as you should be, you need to repent of those things. If you need to confess, why not do that? Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is tonight, we want to beg you to come. Come right now while we stand. He's calling today. Would you come?
Calling today. Jesus is tenderly calling today. He's tenderly calling today.
Yes, I'm standing in our midst.
I haven't been steadfast like I'm supposed to, and I want to repent for my sins and just ask for prayers.